the brachos of Bilam, which he intended as curses, which came out of brachos, are probably the most beautiful psukim that describe Klal Yisrael, describe the relationship that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk that I'd like to focus in on today, it's a pasuk that's very well known. It's also a pasuk that we bring down as one of the 10 psukim, the Malchios Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. And the pasuk is, Lo hibit avim b'Yakov v'lo ra'a amal b'Yisrael, Hashem elokav imo utruas melech bo. He perceived no iniquity in Yaakov, saw no perversity in Israel. Hashem, his God, is with him, and the friendship of the king is in him. And there are many different ways of understanding this pasuk. As Unklus points out in Source 2, Bilam spoke for himself. He had tried to find iniquities that would justify a curse, but he found none. There are many different ways of understanding it. We're going to go according to Rashi, Source number 3. The Rinas Chaim brings down, Hashem Yisparach does not pay close attention, lo he be, to iniquity of Yaakov, nor to the sins of Yisrael. He's not particular with Yisrael to look when they have transgressed his will. Hashem, his God, is always with him. Imo, i.e. with Yaakov, even when Yaakov makes him angry or rebels against him, he never leaves his midst. Utruas melech bo, this implies love and friendship as above, according to the above Rashi. The end of the verse is the reason for it is stated in the beginning. God does not pay close attention to iniquity in Yaakov. He's a good friend who is always amongst us. On the contrary, a good friend wishes to see only the good and always judges favorably. And the obvious question, and it's articulated differently in many of the sources, we'll see the way it's articulated by Rabbi Weinberger in Shemin HaTov, and it's the question, L'chora kulo muksheh, the whole pasuk makes no sense. The Adrabba. Chazal teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medakdekim at tzaddikim chukuchut asara. Hashem is exacting with the tzaddikim. When they do something wrong, he punishes them. And now you're telling me, lo hibit avim b'Yaakov, that he doesn't see any iniquity, he doesn't see any sin? What's going on here? The way the other Mefarshim describe it is that Hashem doesn't take bribes. So how can you say here that it's like bribed by kivyachol, our close relationship with him, and therefore he doesn't see any sin? It doesn't make any sense. How do we understand this pasuk of lo hibit avim b'Yaakov, which the way Rashi can understand it on the simple level, is Hashem sees no iniquity, he sees no sin, it's like we have this perfect relationship and we can do no wrong. Reality is we are punished. Reality is that he does see wrong. So how are we to understand this pasuk? Before we begin with quite a number of approaches, and we're not even doing all the approaches, I'd like to just take a look, quite a number of them, just go through them and see the lessons we can learn. Just like to preface this with the Ner Uzia, Rav Uzia Malevsky, understanding the mindset of Bilam. He said, for 40 years through, the Jewish people wandered in the wilderness for the nation's formative years. Just as a child's earliest experience shaped his character, those first events experienced by the fledgling nation that emerged from Egypt established its spiritual nature for forever after. Bilam knew this. He was no novice in the rules of spirituality. He recognized the great significance of this formative period. And that's why he was jealous of the special relationship that Klal Yisrael had with Hashem. And he realized that since we were still very young, perhaps he was able to somehow affect this relationship through his curses. And that's why, setting his sights on eliminating the very close chosenness of the Jewish people, Bilam had Balak erect 7 altars. In doing so, he wanted to convey to God the message that Jews are no better than any other nation. Just as the patriarch erected 7 altars, so we have erected 7 altars on which to sacrifice to God. And again, he was trying to undermine the special relationship that Klal Yisrael had with Hashem. Bilam's intentions were not altogether ineffective. His destructive thoughts can be seen in the blessings themselves, which were worded as clear inversions of the curses he wanted to heap upon the Jews. And that's how we understand our pasuk. Where God does not look at wrongdoing in Yaakov, he sees no vice in Israel, we can infer in the dot in 6 that Bilam had hoped to invalidate the people's inherent worth and to destroy their special relationship with Hashem. And I'm bringing this down because this has to be the backdrop to understanding all the different levels. The bottom line, whether, as we'll see, it's this technicality or that technicality, or what does it mean that Hashem does see, he doesn't see, the bottom line is, it's about relationship. And when push comes to shove, this is about our inherent worth, it's about our special relationship with Truas Melech Bo Reyos. And we have a special relationship with Hashem. And that has to be the message that comes out for us. And we need to underscore from this pasuk, from this shiur, is that no matter what, we have to understand that we have a special relationship with Hashem. And that's that very relationship that Bilam hoped to undermine. Having said this, now let's begin with taking a look at some of the levels. The beginning levels we'll look at more in depth, and then we'll do the rest a little bit more quickly, more briefly. Perhaps the approach that most of the Mefarshim take is articulated in the Sefer Ha'aros Rav Zedel Epstein Zatzal in Sur 7. Quoting the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who says that Bilam HaRasha Hitba'el Migadlut Am Yisrael. Bilam was like taken, was wowed by the greatness of Klal Yisrael, that even the simplest people, Yaakov, Afilim Chalila Chadu, even if they would sin, Lo Nishtaresh Bahem Hachei Bipnim Yuta, their sin did not become embedded in their personality and who they were. V'zeo Loi Bid Avin, She'af Al Pishay Dekoach Hara Naseh Roshim Ba'adam. Even though generally, when you do something evil, it creates an impression. Nevertheless, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim describing Klal Yisrael, Kulach Yafa Rayati Umum Einbach, you are completely beautiful. There is no mum, there is no imperfection in you. Shein Koch Bachay, double underline, Laso Mum Kavua Bipnimuto Alpiro. Generally speaking, the power of Klal Yisrael is Shchara Nivinava. On the outside, we may sin. On the outside, we may do things that are harmful. But the inner essence of a Jew is always connected to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yediyah zu chashuva ma'o l'chol achad v'achad. Shelo nachshov al shum davar sheni shrashnu be'ergel zeh ve'in tikva la'azo. This has to give us a tremendous amount of fortitude and courage, that we should never feel despondent, that there is no hope. And that's the famous Rambam that he quotes, that a forced get is considered a valid get, even though a get has to be given willingly, because a Jew wants to do the Ritzon Hashem, he wants to do the will of God. Inherent in every Jew is this inner relationship. Utruas melech bo, that reus, that relationship, is found between every Jew and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Nesiv HaShalom, in his essay on the Yetzer Simei Tshuva, in two essays, he speaks about Mamish Har Pasuk, and he says in Source 8, the Yetzer Hara is miskaber miyuchad al yudi lo yachzor b'tshuva. The Yetzer Hara has a way of saying to us, you know, you've sinned so much, you know, you've tried to do tshuva so many times, it hasn't worked. And also, Ech Gadol Avonom Neso, and your sin is so great, there is no hope for you. And this is what this pasuk is coming to respond to. And that is, that even though we have sinned, U'memela ein makom in the bracket and ain't l'chol ha'chashbonot halalu, ha'makavim al tov b'tshuva, but we can't allow all of these negative thoughts to get in our way of tshuva. Why? Because we know that a Jew, sheyudi in nine, kasher uchote, afilu b'mezi, imoino yacholit gabel yitzro, nikra li bober kirbo b'shad maisel, godo yitrachu koma, Hashem yitzbarach. What's the nature of a Jew? Is that even when he sins, I can't believe I'm doing this. The Yitzhara is so overwhelming that it's pushing me to do this, but I don't want to do this. You know, they say that doing an Avera with a Kretz, and not, is like worlds of a difference. A Jew by nature doesn't want to go against Hashem's will. If, you know, our mindset is, I'm pushed to do this. I have a Yitzhara. My inclination is overtaking me. But and the reality is that every Jew is connected to Hashem. Hashem Elokavimo, Hashem is with him. And even when he sins, he feels this. And that's why the pasuk says, Shuvi Yisrael Hashem Elokecha ki kashalta bavanecha, because you've stumbled in your sin. The Nesiv HaShalom mentions in another place that even though Shuvi Yisrael is about doing tshuva for all of our sins, it's referred to as ki kashalta bavanecha, you stumbled. Because a Jew can never really sin, even when he sins on purpose, and obviously he has to do tshuva, it's a kishalon, it's a stumbling. And this is the idea he brings down so beautifully in source number 11a and 11b, where he says, Kikol mash yudi chote no be'etzem ela kishalom. A Jew cannot inherently really sin against Hashem. It's a stumbling. Ki nishmato sheyudi chelek elokam imal. Because we have Hashem with us. We are a godly soul. Ve'en adam chote elim kenich l'saba ruach shtod. And when do we sin? When foolishness, foolhardiness enters into us. Our mindset has left us when we sin. And even when we sin on purpose, it's only a kishalom. If we would really be cognizant of the greatness of Hashem, then we wouldn't give up our whole bechara, our whole relationship with Hashem, for a momentary pleasure of some lentils. And that's the example that he brings at 11b, which is such a beautiful example. The example of a king who has a beautiful chandelier. And a villager just enters into the king's palace, had never seen a chandelier before, looks up and he sees the crystal and the lights, and he sees the rope that attaches the chandelier to the ceiling. And this villager, being a simpleton, says, wow, what a strong rope that it's able to hold all this weight. This would be a great rope for me to use in my village. So he takes a ladder, he climbs up, and he cuts the rope. And what was the result? Bam! The whole chandelier smashes, and there's darkness in the palace. When the king is going to punish the villager for what he did, listen closely, he's not punishing him for the darkness that envelops the palace, because he had no clue that this was going to happen. He punishes him only for taking the rope. And that's the idea in our pasuk. Of lo yibid avin b'yakov v'lo ra'a mal b'yisrael, Hashem elokav imo v'truas melech bo. Of course Hashem is going to punish us. But Hashem realizes that when we sin, we don't have an idea of the enormity of our sin. We don't realize what we've caused. He punishes us for just the sin itself. Because inherently, if we would know that the chandelier is connected to the rope, of course we would never do such a thing. If we would realize the greatness of Hashem and what our actions are all about, we wouldn't do this, because we are connected to Hashem. It's this foolishness that enters into us. And the way the Nesiva Shalom in our parasha in Source 13 describes it, he says, there's an idea that avera goreres avera, that every avera that a person does creates an effect of more negativity, and it's like a domino effect. Hashem focuses in on the avera, but without all the avera goreres avera. He doesn't look at all the other things that come as a result, all the darkness that comes into the world. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes she'ein et ha'totza'ot ha'chei t'she'ra mitchasek v'avera gorerot avera ki Hashem lo kavimo t'ros melech bo. These are moments of foolishness. This is not inherently who we are. This is not something that we consciously want to do, to create darkness in this world, to create distance from Hashem. It pains us to do this. So on this first level, yes, we're getting punished. But what it means, lo yibid avin b'yakov, Hashem doesn't look into all the avera gereres avera, all the factors that are going to be as a result of this sin. He just focuses in on the sin itself. Why? Because he knows a Jew inherently really can't sin. He knows that when a Jew sins, it's a kishalom, it's a failing, because we have this moment of insanity. But a Jew is intrinsically connected to Hashem. As the Shemin HaTov in Source 12 points out, this is the difference between Yaakov, who is an Ish Chalak, and Esav, who's an Ish Sa'ir. This is what Yaakov says to Rivka, right? I can't go and try and fool Yitzchak. I'm an Ish Chalak. I'm, smooth skin. And my brother is hairy skin. So the Mefarshim understand, if you have a lot of hair, and there's something in the wind, so if you have a lot of hair, it's going to get caught in your head. But if you're bald, it's going to just fly right over. You just go like this, and it disappears. That's the difference between the Umos Ha'olam. When they sin, it becomes part and parcel of who they are. It gets caught up in their hair, so to speak. But by Yaakov, it doesn't affect our panemias. It doesn't affect our inner world. And that's what we need to understand, the koach of what every single Jew is about. Rabosai, the message for us is such an important message. As the Tiva Torah points out, we have to know that there are two cheshbonos. There's a cheshbon, there's an accounting before we do a sin. And that is that whenever we sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish us. However, after we do the sin, we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El Tzarech L'dat Sheish Shnei Cheshbonot, Cheshbon Kodem Shechata Adam, Cheshbon before you sin, V'Cheshbon Achar Shenichshal V'Chata Adam, and Cheshbon after you sin. Shekodem Shenichshal Adam V'Yitzrom Mitgaber Alav Lach Shelo B'Chet, Alav L'Yitchazek Be'Munach Chazaka B'Yorot Ha'Onet Shenich HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevater Al Shum Chet. Before we sin, we have to understand Hashem is going to punish us for every sin we do. And Hashem knows all of our thoughts and we have an accounting for it. However, after we sin, we can't be despondent. And we have to understand that we're still bani lamakom, even when we have done something against Hashem. And that's where our pasuk is coming in. Lo yibid avim b'Yaakov, lo ra'am av Yisrael. Of course we're going to get punished. But the punishment isn't something that's going to block us from a relationship with Hashem. Hashem just looks at what we've done, but inherently we are connected. And the message for us is that we should never walk around feeling, it's too late for me. I've sinned too much. There's no hope for me. A person like me, Hashem doesn't want to have a relationship with. No. Yes, this is a reality. Reality is we make mistakes. But the pasuk is coming to teach us, and this is such a fundamental lesson, is that even when we make mistakes, that doesn't mean we've blocked any relationship with Hashem. As Rav Brazil points out in 16, in Bishvili Nivra Olam, there's that voice inside of our head is that we've disappointed Hashem, and Hashem doesn't care about you. We have to distill those voices and know that even after we sin, Hashem loves us. And we know in 17 that one of the 11 spices in the Ketoret was the chelbana, which was a foul-smelling smell, which represents the Rishayim, that even the wicked people are connected to Am Yisrael. Notes where Brazil Chalbana stands for the Rashi Tevot Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra Olam. A person has to say, for me the world was created. Even if you look at yourself as a Chalbana, and you feel that you've reached this level of Yeyosh, Hashem doesn't want me, recognize Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra Olam, and Hashem is connected to me. Hashem wants me. Hashem is found. He's shochein itam b'toch tumatam, even in our impurity, Hashem is found there. And that has to fill us with a tremendous amount of simcha. We've fallen, but we can get ourselves up. We've distanced ourselves, but we can reconnect. That's the message of this pasuk. Rav Wolbe, in the Sefer Rav Wolbe in Chumash number 2, notes, there's a fascinating medrash about the brachos that Bilam gave Bnei Yisrael. Greater was the blessing that Bilam blessed Yisrael, the blessing given by Yaakov to the Shvatim, and the blessings given by Moshe to the Shvatim. Yaakov and Moshe were leaders of the nation, and their perception of Bnei Yisrael stemmed from a vantage point of Avodas Hashem, so their blessings reflected their outlook. When one focuses on Bnei Yisrael's service of the Creator, there's often room for improvement, and consequently, place for criticism. In contrast, Bilam's analysis of Klai Yisrael focused on Hashem's connection to them. As our pasuk mentions, Rashi explains, when Bnei Yisrael transgressed Hashem's word, he is not exacting, examining their iniquities. And even when they anger him, rebel against him, he never abandons them. When the focus is on Hashem, there's no place for criticism and there are no flaws. Regardless of the spiritual state of Bnei Yisrael, Hashem continues to dwell with them among their contamination. With this, Bilam summed up the true essence of Bnei Yisrael, that their connection with Hashem, that the connection that Hashem has with them. And he notes that we refer to these two ideas in the brachos we say in Birchas HaShachar. First we say, Ozer Yisrael Begvura, he girds Yisrael with strength, which corresponds to Bnei Yisrael's avoda, to Hashem, which they channel their strength in their service of Creator. And immediately after, we recite, Oter Yisrael B'tifara, He crowns Yisrael with splendor. One, again, is our initiative, and there's a lot of room for improvement. And the other is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol. He crowns Yisrael with splendor. This bracha corresponds to Hashem's relationship with us, for we are forever crowned with a splendor despite our faults and shortcomings. We sometimes get caught up in what we perceive as our lowly spiritual state. We could be doing more chesed, davening with more kavana, performing mitzvahs more meticulously. While there's always room for improvement, we should nevertheless take a minute to appreciate who we are and what we have. Despite our sins, and regardless of our deficiency, Hashem does not move away from us, even an iota. He continues to rest his Shechina among us. He loves us. He cares about us. He's forever intimately connected with us. This awareness is not only reassuring, it's also invigorating, for it can motivate us to cultivate this relationship, which will in turn catapult us to spiritual levels we never imagined we could attain. And that's the message for us. Yes, there's a punishment. Yes, there's a din. But understand, among all of this is a tremendous amount of love. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu just looks at what we've done without all the darkness and consequences. Why? Because He loves us. He has a relationship with us. And no matter what we've done, we can always come back. And He's always poseach yad. He's always extending a hand and wanting us to return to Him. And that has to be almost like an inspiration for us to return to Hashem. Rabosai, it's not by accident that we read Parashas Balak in Chodesh Tammuz. We know that Chodesh Tammuz, aside from the idea of the Rosh Chovot of Tshuva, is Meshame Tshuva, the Zmani Tshuva, the times of Tshuva are coming, and this is the time to already begin for the Yamim Noreim. We don't start Elul, we already start Tammuz time. Having said that, particular, the month of Tammuz is a month of Tshuva in particular. We know the Sfarim speak about that each month of the year corresponds to a different shevet, a different tribe. It goes on the way, different versions, but the classic one is the way they encamp, where the tribe of Yehuda went first. So he's Chodesh Nisan, then Yisachar, he's Chodesh Iyar, then Zvulun, he's Chodesh Sivan. Those were the east side. Then the next group to travel was the south side, which is Reuven, Shimon, and Gad, and those are the months of Tammuz is Reuven, Shimon is Av, and Gad is Elul, and it continues in that way. We know about Reuven that he was Patach B'Tshuva Tchila. He was the first one to really do Tshuva, B'Sako B'Tanito, when he was mourning the fact over what he did with Bilhah. Because Reuven represents the model of a Baal Tshuva, the month of Tammuz, which is the month which corresponds to Reuven, is the month of Tshuva. And this is the message that Rav Shor in 21 brings in his Sefer. V'zeh yisod shekol ish Yisrael, shein achet nogel lepnimiyot. That the sin does not affect us intrinsically in who we are. That the month of, Kabbalistically, the month of Tammuz is connected the letter Chet. Chet represents sin. But the letter Chet also represents Chayim, Chayus, life. That even in sin, there's life, there's hope. And this you even find in Shivasar B'Tammuz. The Arizal says that Shivasar B'Tammuz, about it, Aaron said, Chag L'Hashem Machar will be a holiday for Hashem tomorrow. That Shivasar B'Tammuz one day will be one of the most joyous days in the Jewish calendar year. That even what we perceive as the most negative, intrinsically, inherently, can be turned to the most positive and the most joyous. And that's how we have to look at this month. This month of Tammuz is a month where we look at ourselves in the mirror and we're honest with ourselves. And we see our shortcomings and we see our failures. But we also see Chag L'Hashem Machar. We see the goodness. We see the potential. We see the ability to change. We see the ability to take responsibility for our actions and to move forward. And that, my friends, is level number one. Very, very invigorating and exciting. It's a level of understanding that despite who we are, despite our punishment, despite our distance from Hashem, it doesn't affect us intrinsically. We have the Tzelem Elokim in us. We are Chalak. Whatever we do, Shcharan Yivinava, I may be dark on the outside, maybe full of sins, I may be tainted. But inside I'm Na'ava, I'm pure, I'm beautiful, I'm lovely. And when I focus in on that aspect, that Hashem Ote Yisrael B'Tifara, there's that splendor, there's that love. It catapults me to this level of inspiration, invigoration, that I want to become even closer to Hashem, who loves me so much, who will never give up hope on me, who has this relationship with me. That's level one. Level number two, which is slightly different, is sound Das Chochma Musar Rabbi Rucham. It's according to Titcha Al Yom, where he says the following. He says, V'day she'ishtim v'ishtayan in 24, of course there is a judgment. El shvegalot lanu ha'torah et avatov v'chemlotov shel Kadosh Baruch Hu she'inonu mechapes et ha'adam l'mtzor chatatav v'anagotav. The Pasuk is teaching us that Hashem doesn't go looking for the problems that we have. Of course we have problems. But He doesn't go around trying to scrutinize everything we do. Rather, He set up a system in this world called Kitrug, called accusatory force. And when we sin, the accusatory force has a voice, and it will not be quiet until we get punished. So it's not like Hashem is looking for these things. It's just the way the world is set up, is that there's a laws of nature, like gravitational pull, or there's sin pull, that one who does something wrong creates this Kitrug, creates this accusatory force, and the accusatory force is not going to be silenced and quieted until it is dealt with. The Lev Eliyahu of Eliyahu Lopian, developing this idea, speaks about there's also a difference between a sin done on purpose and done by accident. When we've done a sin by accident, v'nislach l'chol da b'nei Yisrael k'chol ha'am b'shkaga. When we do it by accident, there's more of a hope to gain forgiveness. However, when we do something b'merid v'zadon, then the satan is omeinu mekatreg alav. The satan stands and wants us to be punished. And we find this distinction in the bracha that we say of mechila, forgiveness, every day in davening. We say every weekday, we say, slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. Forgive us our Father because we have sinned. Chay is by shogeg, is by accident. We refer to Hashem as Avinu, our Father. He's compassion, He's understanding. Mechal lanu makenu ki pashanu. Pashanu is a pesha, is bemeret, is knowing full well what we are doing. Consciously doing this. There we turn to Hashem as Malkeinu, as our King, because there the relationship is a much different relationship. When we've done it by accident, then there's hope to say, Hashem, you know, I didn't mean it. Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. But when it comes to Mechal lanu Malkeinu ki pashanu, then Hashem is indeed the Melech who's going to demand that the Sata is going to demand, like the justice court, that we get our fair due. And then the Lev Eliyahu brings another idea. Rabosai, let's listen to this idea because it's wild. He says there's another aspect of Kitrug, of creating an accusatory force, that's not just the Satan. The Satan has his work cut out for him, don't worry. But there's another way to create a Kitrug, an accusatory force, where Hashem may overlook it, but there's someone else who's going to demand a judgment. And that, my friends, is each and every one of us when we speak negatively about somebody else. We have no idea, that when we speak negatively, V'matay ole mekatreg u'mastin l'mala, 26, when does this, double underline, this accusatory force come upstairs? Ki yesh mekatregim echad al chaveiro l'mata ba'aretz. When you have one person who's speaking negatively about somebody else down here, when you have people who are speaking Lashon Hara, Gormim, Kitru, Gam, B'Shamayim, V'Nimsa, Shosim, Churban, Ben Lamata, Uven Lamala. Rebecca, if we would just, and this is the perfect time of year to talk about this, when we try to be more conscious of Lashon Hara and how we speak, if we would just understand that every time we speak negatively about somebody else, all right, I talk to my friend and I say, can you imagine? This is what she said. Can you imagine this is what she did? I saw it in my own eyes. Right? She did this. So in Shamayim, had I not mentioned anything, they would say, we know there are other factors and there's a lot going on. And that's why we beat Avin B'Yakov, or Kadosh Baruch Hu may not be so medactic. But when I mention this to my friend, that sentence creates this kitrug. And then in Shamayim they say, well, gee, she did say this. Well, gee, she did do this. And even though there may be extenuating circumstances, the reality is this has to be attended to. every time we speak negatively about somebody, we create din in this world. We create judgment in this world. The classic example that Rebbe Eliyahu gives in the asterisks of 26 is the difference between the door of David HaMelech and the door of Shaul HaMelech and the door of Achav. The door of Shaul HaMelech, they were great tzaddikim. They went out to battle and lost. Why? Because there were a lot of people who spoke about where David HaMelech was and where he was hiding. There were a lot of people who were tattletales. And they lost in the war. There was a kitrug against them. The door of Achav, wow, what an Oved Avodah Zarah he was. He worshipped every idol imaginable. They were successful in battle. Why? Because they had this ability. Now, they knew Eliyahu Navi was hiding. They didn't say anything. They knew Ovadia was hiding 100 Nevi'im prophets when Ezebel tried to kill all of them out. No one said anything. That ability to stay quiet created peace and security for the Jewish people. And he brings here a Medrash in Kohelet in 27. Ki gam lo yeda ha'adam et ito. A person doesn't know his time. Kidagim hanachazim b'mitzudara. Pasuk in Kohelet, Tet Yud Bet, like fish who are caught in a bad trap. So has the Medrash, is there a good trap and a bad trap? As far as I know, a trap is a trap is a trap. So the Medrash answers the following. There are two types of ways to catch fish. Any of you ever went fishing? So you know what I'm talking about. One is, even if you haven't caught fishing, you know what I'm talking about. One is by a net. When a fish is caught in net, so the net is lifted up, and the fish says to himself, oh no, I'm not in the water, I'm caught, I'm stuck, literally I'm sunk, right? I'm dinner. What happens when we have, and that's a good type of a net. What is the bad type? That's a fishing rod, that's a fishing hook. Why? Because there, when the fish is caught by its neck, the whole body is flapping around and thinks it's free. The only part that's caught is the head, is the mouth. And he says that's the idea, that a person may think that I'm a total tzaddik, I'm free, I'm flapping around. But there's one part that has caught him up, and that one part can be the downfall of a person, and that is how he speaks, how he uses his mouth. So, my friends, this is the second level of understanding our pasuk. Lo yibin avim b'Yaakov, lo ra amal b'Yisrael. Hashem isn't looking to find fault with us. When the accusatory force comes up to heaven, he needs to respond. That's the way the order of the world is. What's the accusatory force? It could be the Satan. It could be the archangel who's against us. Or very well, it could be you and me, who are saying something against somebody else, and we have no idea, right? For whatever crazy reason, we get this pleasure of putting someone else down. It's like the most bizarre pleasure imaginable. Whatever it is, I don't think about the consequences. I don't think that if I talk about my neighbor, and can you believe this is how she's mechanech her children, or this is how she does A, B, and C, that I speak about a negative thing she's done. Do I have any understanding what effect it's going to have on her and her family, lo aleinu? If I did, I would rethink it. And that has to be looking at ourselves, and every time we speak Lashon Hara, almost having this as a great imagery to hang in your house, like a fishing hook. Maybe not literally a fishing hook, but a picture of one. Just like, stop and think before you get yourself caught in a trap that you can't extricate yourself from. The third level. The Sifte Das, quoting the Sos Emes in 28, he says, Mavchina Sos Emes b'maymar shelefaneinu mavdil ben shnei minei hashgachot. There are two types of the way Hashem interrelates with us. Hashgacha pratit al kol ish Yisrael, which is the special hashgacha pratit, divine providence that Hashem has on each and every one of us. Lumat hashgacha klalit al klal ha'uma kula. And the other is the way Hashem looks at us as a group, as a unit. When Yaakov Avinu is b'keish v'itpalel b'kalam al techad kvodi, he's speaking about kahal shel shevet shalem, b'vchina shel am Yisrael v'im b'nei Yaakov, etzlam lo mabid habore yisparach al chet v'avon, lo mabid ein pei rusho rak shu kivyachol malim ayim mechateim, el shachet eno yotzer roshem v'eno pogea b'hem, When the pasuk says Lo hibid aven biYaakov, Lo ra amal biYisrael, it's literal. There is no sin in Yaakov or in Klal Yisrael. You know what that refers to? The people as a people. The Hainu Shavon Eino Nibit biYisrael Veino Nikar b'Maram. Klal Yisrael are always looked at in the perfected state, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is not impressed by their sin. However, when an individual sins, when an individual is looked at on an individual basis, of course Hashem punishes and Hashem sees sin. And that is what we have to understand. When Bilam is speaking here, he's speaking about Hashem Elokav Imo, that Hashem is with Klal Yisrael as a Klal, and not talking about individuals. And Rabosai, there is a lot of Torah on this, that if we want to be able to be successful in our din and in our whole view of the way Hashem views us, we need to be a person who is connected to the Klal, to the community, and a person whom the Klal needs. You find this Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedland, who's at Zal in 29, in Chelek Aleph, where he speaks about Nimsasha Shunami Loratsasha Navi Yitpalel V'Yorir Rachmi Malei Latzilah Midin Rosh Hashanah. When Elisha says to her, you know, you've done so much for me, how can I repay you? And she says, no, V'tochami Anochi Hashem, don't speak to the king, don't speak to Hashem, it was Vayihi Hayom, was Rosh Hashanah. She said, I don't want to be singled out. Being singled out is not a good idea. In either Ruchlius or Gashvius, Bipnei Shekvar Tiyesh Shonem Misharam V'Nifredim Ehem, because then I'll be different from everybody, and then I don't have the protection of the Klal in my, of the group, in my judgment. L'manu Mikarna Tiyesod Hamur, Shadam Zochel L'Rachmei Shemayim Mitino, a person has a special amount of Rachmei Shemayim, a special divine intervention. As Rabbi Ruchnius of Begashrius, Kivyochel Hashem helps us physically and spiritually, to the extent that you're part of the Sibur, the group, and you feel part of them, and you're not, you know, haughty and say, I'm above them, or who needs them. And that ability to be part of the Sibur helps us be connected to doing tshuva. And this he speaks about Kabbalistically, that the Hashpa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to the Knesset Yisrael, to the group, and as to the extent that we are connected to this, this is the Ramchal and Das Tfunot, Mitoch Et Otsam Hidai Tabkut HaTula Beribui Maaseh Mitzvot Yisrael, Yeshmi HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeKnesset Yisrael L'Chokh Malut Nimsa Shef O Shel Kedusha. To the extent that we are connected, to that extent we are able to tap into that fountain of the Shefa, of the divine bounty that comes down to this world. And that's why we know, as Rav Chaim Shulamit Zatzal points out in Sichos Musar, the Chazal tell us, La'olam lishtatev inish nafshe v'hadei tzibur, a person should always feel included in the pain of the tzibur. And Rashi says, even a tefillah ksara, even a small tefillah, you shouldn't say in the singular, but rather in the plural, because the tefillah of the plural of the tzibur is heard much more. And obviously it makes sense. When an individual is asking for a request, so then it goes through a lot of scrutiny. Do they deserve it? When were they answered? Why do they deserve it? All of this. But when the tzibur is asked for a request, so then the tzibur, Klal Yisrael, doesn't sin. Klal Yisrael is deserving of a lot more. And therefore Klal Yisrael as a tzibur will be able to be answered much more than as a yachid, as an individual. And this is true, my friends. A person needs a parnasa. So instead of just javening for so-and-so, Ben, so-and-so should have a parnasa, you say, among all those who are seeking parnasa, among Beto Shar Chola Yisrael, among all those who are sick, among all those who are nichiduchim, among all those, whatever it is, you don't single yourself out. This has to be our mindset. Our mindset, and it's something we have to really train ourselves and our families to think along these lines. It's very easy to say, well, okay, what's in it for me? Well, you know, no. First and foremost, we have to understand that Klal Yisrael as a Klal is the most beautiful thing, Knesset Yisrael. And we have to ask ourselves, in what way can I mevata myself to the klal? In what way can I help the community? You know, it's so fascinating that you see this even in marriage. The first thing that a couple does is has a week of Sheva Bracha. The first week they have to spend with the minion who are going to say Sheva Bracha with them. They're not off in Honolulu, you know, by themselves. Because building a bais is about joining up with klal Yisrael. That's a mindset of what we're speaking about. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. In what way am I making the klal a better klal? In what way am I thinking of ways of making the community, as we spoke about last week, a better community? I'm not only focused in myself, I'm focused in on the needs of others. The Chochmah Matzmon, quoting Rav Chasko Lovenstein, the Or Yecheskel, notes this idea in 32. He says, you know, quoting the Sabbath of Kelm, that Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to wear white clothes and get a haircut and, you know, take a shower. And because you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to your batuach, b'yom adin, Hashem is going to give you a good judgment. Are we really so sure? And he answers that when we say we're so sure, it means that Klal Yisrael is insured of a good year. Are you going to be part of that Klal? That's not so pasha. And to the extent that a person is able to be part of this, to that extent, you want to know how to effect a good judgment. Obviously, there has to be a trepidation. Am I worthy or not? The onus of responsibility falls on us. How much am I giving to the klal? Which means, in simple English, that when there's a tehillim going on for somebody who's sick, or a kenes, or a community gathering to strengthen something in the community, do I say, oh, it's not me, Sneas and I are perfect, I don't need to go to this kenes, I don't need to hear this again? I've separated myself from the community. I've made myself higher than the community. That's below my standard. And when you separate, when one separates himself from the community, God then says, oh, really? Let me take a look. Really? Your standards are so much better and so much higher? So it's important. Okay, so if you can't make it, so at least you you get a tape of it, or you say tehillim at home. Some way, you know, I can't make it, but can I help you with flyers? Can I help you make phone calls? Can I help you publicize? In some way, to be part. And that's what all of us need to have, all of us. No matter what state we're in, and again, depending on how many little ones we have in our responsibility, it's going to shift. But some project could be very small or very large. Some project connected to Klal Yisrael. Something that we can do, that we can turn to Hashem and say, I am concerned, I am helping, I am on the phone squad, I'm on the email squad, I'm on the whatever squad, and I am there for Klal Yisrael. And then he adds, listen to this. Listen to this. This is worth the whole shiur, 33 in the arrow. Uchamo chen, mechovatenu lishtadel lirchos la'atzmenu et hasimanim shebehem yuchdu klal Yisrael. It's not enough just to be involved on all these squads and community events, obviously. But you know what else it means to be part of Klal Yisrael? To have the insignia of the three major character traits that the Jewish people have, make sure it's found in you. And they are baishanim, that ability to be embarrassed, rachmanim, have rachmanos, to have mercy, vigomle chasodim, and be able to do acts of kindness. If you want to be part of Klal Yisrael, b'vaday shirak asher nimsa banu midos sheichdu behem Klal Yisrael, yitachin sheyeh ni'el chelid mitoch haklal. It's not so technical, my friends. To really be part of Klal Yisrael means to make sure I'm acting like a member of the Jewish people, that I have the baishanos when I need to have it. I have, my response is rachmanut, rachmanus when I hear something. I'm not callous. My responses that I want to give, when I act like these quality traits, then you know, indeed, I'm part of Klal Yisrael. So my friends, we've seen now a few ideas. Idea number one, of course Hashem judges us, The Indian is that the Avera Guerreras Avera, the darkness of the broken chandelier is not what he focuses on, because he realizes Nichlas Abad Ruach Shtos, and he just looks at the superficial level and not the deeper level. Idea number two of Lo Yibidav B'Yakov Lo Ra Amal B'Yisrael is the idea that we saw as well, and on this first idea that no Jew can ever feel like he is forlorn or can never come back. On the second level, when we speak about this, we're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to look at what we've done wrong. But there's a mekatreg, there's a kitrug, there's an accusatory force, whether it's a satan, particularly if we've done it on purpose, right? Malkenu, pashanu, and or when we speak negatively about somebody else. The third level, there is no kitrug on Klal Yisrael, on the group. On the individual, that's all a different story. But on the group, Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, is always pure. Our job is to join up with the Klal. Our job is not to separate from the Klal. Our job is to be part of Jewish communal aspects. Our job is to act like the way a Jewish person should act. And our job is also to daven in the plural, to really connect ourselves as much as possible with the community. And this is something we need to train our children with, whether the community is the children in their class, whether the community is the community, that from a young age, kids should be involved in Tomchei Shabbos, in Chesed, in visiting old age home, in hospitals, whatever it may be, that this should be part and parcel of the chinuch that we give our children, that we are part of a community, we care about the community, and we're going to extend ourselves beyond our little family and our little community to the wider one. Fourth idea, and that's Mishnah Shem and Rav Kaufman Zatzal, where he speaks about our job is to take our negative character traits and to be able to channel them for Avodas Hashem. So somebody who has in their teva gaiva, a lot of haughtiness, so then you have to use it to have gaiva de kedusha, to be proud that you're a Jew, and not to be embarrassed to do mitzvahs publicly, to daven in the airport, to be able to take these character traits and to be able to channel them appropriately. And he continues in 34 that Bilam had the ability to do that. Both Bilam and Avraham Avinu were born with challenging character traits and good character traits. Avraham Avinu, they say, Shlita Pinchas brings down, was born in Haran. His character trait was Charon Av, was anger. What was the first thing we know about Avraham Avinu in the Medrash? He took an axe and walloped the idols. That's not chesed, that's din. He worked on himself to take that and channel it to be an Avarachaman. Bilam also had this ability to channel his character traits, but he did not. And we have to realize 34 in the Aruv Sarikol Ish Yisrael Itameitz Bavoda Tikkun Amidos B'chol Eid V'chol Sha'ah. A person has to work on their midos at every hour. U'b'myuchad Yerkil Yisrael Luzo B'shnot HaNeurim, particularly when you're young, because they are the Yisod V'Avasis, they are the foundation of one's entire life. And this is how he teaches a pasuk in 35, Lo Hibid Avin B'Yakov. When a person works on themselves and stays away from sin on your level of Yaakov, which is a level of youth, then, but they get older, they won't have sin, and Hashem won't be able to find any sin in them. So the way he divides the pasuk is, Lo Yibid Avin B'Yaakov is our responsibility, that we should find any sin when we're a Yaakov, when we're working on ourselves as young. So Lo Ra Amal B'Yisrael, so Hashem, when we're older, won't find sin within us as well. And with this, in 35 to 37, he teaches the whole philosophical imagery, as well as lesson that we learned from Shiva Sarba Tammuz. What are we commemorating Shiva Sarba Tammuz? That the wall was broken in. So he says there were much worse things that happened, the Khorban, the destruction, etc., all these people that were killed. Why are we focusing in on this of breaking down the wall? And he says that this is the key to understand. When it comes to midos, once the wall is broken, then everything becomes hefker, everything becomes ownerless, and can be destroyed. We have to look at ourselves like a mini wall with our midos, that we have to be on high alert, not allowing any pirtsa, not allowing any breakthrough. Because once there's a breakthrough, everything is in danger. And albeit not all of us can turn back the clocks, but whatever age we are, we have to work on ourselves. So at this age, I'm working on not falling into this pitfall. And to that extent, Hashem will come toward me and say, this is something you're working on. So therefore, there will be a mitigation of din, because the Kaddish Baruch Hu knows that this is something that's a challenge, this is something that is in process. And again, what Hashem doesn't really want is result, but He wants us to be trying. And as Robertson Felbrand notes in her Sefer Grow, the core of man's existence is a toil continually to improve his character traits. Of what purpose otherwise is his life? The Rav Stovber of Lubavitch, a man's toil to refine his character and serve his Creator must be done with inner integrity, without pretensions. One who is delusional to grandeur is fooling no one but oneself, and one who is great about fooling a fool. And that's what we have to understand, that to the extent that we are lo hibid avim b'yakov, to the extent that we're really working on something, lo ra amal b'yisrael. This reciprocal aspect, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that, and this is why we're in this world, that we're constantly working on our mitos. There's nobody, I don't care if they're 119 and a half years old, there's still mitos to work on. There's still what to work on. You know, they tell the Maisa, very famous, of Rav Chaim Friedlander when he was very sick, and he went into, was it Rav Shach? I don't remember who he went into. And told him he has 2 weeks to live, what he should work on. And the response of the Gadol was, mitos. You have to work on your midos till the very last moment of your breath. That's where it's at. And the Gedolim say this, when you're looking for a chassid, as important as the hasmada and in learning and your shamayim is, midos is critical. Because hasmada can be developed, but midos is really the fundamental of where a person is at. And that's what this pasuk is teaching us. To the extent that we work on our midos, to that extent that kivyochol Hashem meets us and realizes that this is where we're at, and then it is almost a siyata d'shmaya verba that He takes that into account when judging us. This dual relationship is echoed in our final level in Mishnas Yosef, where he says, and it's Gevaldik Aitia 39a, which is really a shirin of itself, 39a and b, but we'll make mention of it now. Yishlomo b'derech efsher, ki kasher b'neiso mekablim hanhagas Hashem Yisbarach gam kesheinan nirei tovach chas v'shalom. When we're ready to accept Hashem's will, even if it doesn't, you know, suit our needs or what we would want, b'chozo mekablim ota ba'ava, but we accept it with love, uve emuna, with faith, ki mishpatei Hashem emet tzadku yachta, whatever Hashem does, kol da'avi rachmana l'tav avid, is for the good. As mida k'neged mida, gam Hashem Yisbarach, eino makpid alina gupin Yisrael, gam k'sheina tova kol kach, kirtano yiparach. Hashem accepts our behavior, even if it is not according to the way He would like. As we find by the Inyan of Sukkah, that someone who is someone extends out money and they don't check. Well, let me see your paper. Let me see which vod authorized it. Let me see what your need is, but ready to give. So to in heaven, they don't look down so with such scrutiny whether this person deserves chesed from Hashem. Just like a person. This is Hashem's sukha. The way you treat others is the way Hashem treats you. The way you treat Hashem is the way Hashem treats you. That if you're not so exacting about giving and helping others, Hashem won't be so exacting whether you're deserving when Hashem gives you and whether you're deserving of the chesed of Hashem. And that's in 39b, how He teaches our pasuk. V'zeh shekatuv lo yibid avim b'yakov v'lo ra amal b'yisrael. Hashem doesn't scrutinize our sins. Why is this? Because even Hashem Elokav Imo, even when Hashem, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei Rachamim, reveals Himself as Elokav, as Elokim, which is the Midas Hadin with us, the person is ready to accept it without complaint. B'chozo truat melech bo, chibat ava v'reyut ha-melech imahim, ve'inam yitram'im. They accept that Hashem is with them and Hashem loves them and they don't complain. L'chei mida k'neged mida, measure for measure, Hashem is not mikdakdik with them, and His love remains with them. So on this last level, it could be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, on some level, again, we don't understand Hashem's judgment, but for a person who accepts everything that happens to them, and they always say, this is for the good, and I don't have complaints, and Hashem knows what He's doing, and I'm ready to accept the good, and what I don't consider good as good, and I'm ready to accept that all Hashem does is for the best, etc., etc. When a person has that attitude, but really, honestly, with everything that happened, then lo hibinava miyakov lo ra'am al b'Yisrael. When a person is able to say that everything a person does is for Hashem does is for the good, Hashem is not medactic with them and will show love to them even when they are not deserving. Let's just summarize what we've seen. We'll end with one idea. One pasuk with so many different levels and so many different lessons. Lesson number one for our lives is to understand Hashem loves us so much. Hashem never wants to distance Himself from us. That when we sin, it's really because foolishness has entered into us. And we realize how much Hashem loves us. When we realize how much Hashem is connected to me, and how much Hashem is invested in me, and the reyus, the truas melech bo, I just feel inspired to just say, you know what, Hashem, I've goofed, but I'm really going to try better. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also respond in kind and recognize that we're really trying to improve ourselves and to improve that relationship. And that's what He wants. And that's what Tammuz is about. It's a month of connection, a month of tshuva, a month of realizing that, you know, I may have gone wrong, but never, ever have this feeling that there's no hope for me and that I'm down in the dumps and there's no way to get out when you feel how much Hashem loves you. Chobonah. Chayev lomar b'shvili nivra olam. You feel how much Hashem's invested in you, you can pick yourself up. Level number two is to understand how careful we have to be with that kitrug, with that accusatory force that's found in the heavens. And that accusatory force is a very strong force, and we have to be very careful of it. And this Kufa particularly, which Lashon Hara rears its head from the sin of the Meraglim, Miriam, all this time of the year, we have to be super careful. When we say something, not to say anything accusatory about anybody else, because we don't want Chas HaShalom to bring a din, a judgment on this person, and have this imagery of that fishing hook in mind. Level number three, wow, Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, it's a perfected state, there is no sin. Us as individuals, well, that's a separate story. How do we be able to enter into that world? Be a person who's going to be connected to that world of Knesset Yisrael, daven in the pub, in the plural, be involved in community projects, and most importantly, act like a person by Shanim Rachmanim Gomlei Chasadim. Fourth idea, to understand that to the extent that a person works on themselves down here, that to the extent that a person is trying to protect themselves without any pirtsa, without any holes, that a person is trying to take their negative character traits and elevate them, to that extent Hashem understands our process and Hashem protects us and Hashem will look out for us and not be so exacting with us, knowing that this is something that we're working on. This is a mita. So if I get angry and Hashem knows that I'm working on my anger, the punishment is mitigated because He understands that we're in process, we're really working on it, and that there is this relationship. And our job is, first and foremost, why are we in this world? To our very last day, is to work on our mitos, to work on our character traits. And finally, the way we view, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us, that's the way Hashem will look at us. We view Hashem's relationship with us, that's how He's going to treat us. And that if we see everything for the good, then Hashem is also going to look at us in the positive light. With this, my friends, we can appreciate our final idea. The Imur Lufanai Malchios, Rav Meizlish, speaks about every pasuk in the Malchios, what should we be thinking? And he says in this pasuk, we should be Bishimalei, we should ask Hashem, that we should be Mamlech Hashem in us. Bishimalei Hashem kol b'shoteinu l'tova, Hashem should answer all tefillos for the good. V'gam yesh b'zem l'itzat tova, aleinu shebibdiv libeinu ritzonein lo sor ritzonein v'yishma shemayim. This pasuk should arouse in us that desire in Rosh Hashanah, that indeed, Hashem, you know what? I really want to do your will. This just enters into me, but I want to have a connection with you. So when I say this pasuk, we should close our eyes and think, Hashem, you know, I really want to have this friendship. I really want to have this close relationship. I'm going to try harder to overcome those obstacles that block me. And recognize, Hashem, that the chatayim heim rak min ha-safa v'lochutz, anytime I sin, it's not intrinsically me. It's just the outside me. ואפשר גם לבקש שגם אנו נזכה למעלה צריך סגוף ולצאלו יונה מעלה מחותו יתברך. That we should be לסמוך עם הנהגתו איתנו בכל מצב שיהיה. That we should also, when we say this pasuk, have in mind. That Hashem, help me be able to accept all that you do for me, should be for the, that everything you do for me is good. And that I should feel your tremendous love that you have for me. And that I should be able to reciprocate, that my avodas Hashem should be out of love and not out of a burden. And that's the mindset we need to have in this pasuk, that when we say this pasuk on Rosh Hashanah, it should invoke in us these feelings of love, these feelings of connection, these feelings of being able to accept all that Hashem does for me, is for the good. Let me feel this, let me connect, and let me feel Truas Melech Bo. When I hear the Kol Shofar, the Trua, I should again rouse these feelings of Hashem loves me so much, Hashem is so connected to me, and I just have to break through all those negative barriers and all the negativity that I've set up that's really not me. And be able to bring out the core me, which is Truas Melech Bo, that Reus, that Shem Elokavi Mo, that Shem is with me, that Chelek Elokavi Mal, and when I do that, I'll be successful in bringing out the goodness in me to have a full Tshuva Shlema, a full relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.